live from the Bills' famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. This is the time in the broadcast where I would introduce the guy that helps us produce the show, keeps track of our time, and is the poet laureate of the Blockout Sports Pod. However, Mr. Electricity has not graced us with his presence this evening.
Have you seen the weekend that he had? Just take it. Let's just go back in the world of Whiteboard Jody and take a look at his weekend.
Okay. Oh. I'd love to hear this.
Well, it started on Saturday with 10-point favorite Kentucky, him going down to Lexington to watch them beat the Gamecocks. And that didn't happen.
Oh, no.
No, so that didn't happen. So he took that.
Freddie just said, oh, no.
Yeah. And then
they closed the concession stand after the first 2 minutes.
So then he wakes up Sunday and is like, I'm going to watch my Tennessee Titans play football. Well, I think we got to see Will Levis's reaction at the end of that game when he dropped to his knees after throwing that pick.
And then are you looking at his bet, three bets as picks too?
Yeah, and then you go 0-3 on your betting?
Ouch.
God, I wouldn't show up either. That was a haiku that I just did.
That was a haiku. No rhyming. Oh, I love it. No rhymes.
Haiku. Rhyming poems are for noobs. Like, it's classic poetry just to speak.
I'm sure Jody will appreciate that sentiment very much.
He can just go back and look at the picture of Will Levis on his knees doing the surrender cobra after he threw the interception.
Which was just a hilarious visual.
Like, I'm not even going to try to tackle this guy. I don't even give a shit.
I don't think NFL coaches want their quarterbacks to tackle anyone on an interception.
Yeah, but you would like to see effort.
True.
Teammates would like to see effort.
They would probably rather not see him just get up on his knees and put his hands over his head.
I'm telling you, the problem right now is that he signed his mayonnaise contract with Hellman's. And we all know the mayonnaise of the South is Duke's. It's got twang. It dominates that region.
True.
So I think that was Hellman's trying to make a play to move in on Duke's territory.
You think his hands are a little extra greasy or slippery?
Something's going on with the guy. he's the most Carson Wentz. He's more Carson Wentz than Carson Wentz is.
That was, as a Colts fan, I have to tell you, when I saw the video of that play, I was like, oh, I've seen that before.
Yeah,
actually, I've seen it several times. When Carson Wentz was the Colts quarterback, he would pull that shit at least once every other game.
Remember when Carson Wentz sprung both of his ankles on one play? How do you sprain both ankles on one play?
I can't talk until Travis gives me my...
I'm sorry. We didn't even know you were here. All we got was a oh no from you. All right, I'll shut up.
So... over my right shoulder, you've already heard him describe Jody's not very good, very bad weekend. He is the big fellow, the Tuna Country, Matt Kempf.
All fired up.
And bellied up to the bar is the man that I understand via Pat 40 is in line to become University of Kentucky's new offensive line coach. He is the fabulous one, Freddie Bender.
I love it. Everybody, line up. 3-point stance and do your job.
Who's
it's that simple.
Who's the Eagles 78?
This is a throwback. If you look at the back, have you seen the back?
Walsh.
This is musically inclined Eagles.
Oh.
Old school 1978 jersey Joe Walsh on
I refrain back to the Big Lebowski when I speak
yes,
of the
I'm
Eagles.
Yes, I'm going music. with some of these dog games we had this past weekend, besides the IU Hoosiers and Louisville Cardinals.
Which we're going to get into.
I figured I'd go with a little music, you know.
And I appreciated the shirt.
Yes.
I know Tuna, if you didn't hear him, he said he would revert back to the Big Lebowski on his feelings about the Eagles, but not, you know, I mean, you know, we don't want to start the, something right here. So.
But you know, back in the day, Tuna, like, if you watch the old videos of Eagles and a lot of bands,
there's no
back
denying
in the
their
day,
talent. I just grew up in an era where it was overplayed nonstop on QMF, and I couldn't get enough of it, and it was everywhere I ever looked.
What was
or heard or anything? The Eagles, all their music.
Well, what I'm saying is the jerseys. Everybody wore these jerseys. The band members from all kinds of different bands back in the day. You know, team jerseys and stuff. It's kind of old school T-shirt jerseys. You know what I'm saying? Not real authentic.
Which anyone that knows me.
Nike
knows
jersey.
That is my
that is
favorite.
Your forte.
That's my favorite thing.
That's right.
Before we get into the show tonight, just want to remind everybody we are on social media. Although I could not, for some reason, I could not post last week's episode to either the Facebook or the Twitter page. I could never get it to work properly, but I will rectify that situation this week. We typically do put. We typically do put those on.
I don't know what just happened.
I think he was giving me the thumbs up, like I noticed that.
Well, yeah, and I wanted you to put a for early plug in on our 100th. If
oh
you
yes,
could.
Yes.
Not at the end of the show. I want to do it at the beginning.
Yeah.
I
mean, so our 100th episode.
Think anybody will make it to the end?
I'm gonna make it.
I think everybody makes it to the end, or
I
most
so.
People do. But our 100th episode will be coming up at the end of October. For anyone local that listens to the show, we are going to do it at Chex, real close to Freddie's house. We've got a room reserved upstairs.
Chex Cafe.
We'll be doing the whole show live. You'll be able to hear. We're going to have some listener interaction. Gonna have some merchandise up there.
It's gonna be videoed.
Yep. It should be very, very cool. If you are interested in going, we will put out all the pertinent details on all social media sites so that you are sure to know. But it is the last week of October. The date escapes me now.
It's Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday night.
It's Wednesday. It's the night before Halloween.
It's the week we take off to Clemson.
You're right. It is literally the night before Halloween. And then Tuna and I head to little old Clemson the day after Halloween.
Oh, man, I can't wait for that show.
And you know what I'm dressing up as for little old Clemson trip?
A Papa
Domino,
John's pizza box.
Well, Domino's pizza driver.
Okay, perfect.
I mean, you'd be the pizza delivery guy from Loverboy.
they
order like extra sardines or something like that.
Yes, yeah. Yes, extra anchovies.
Anchovies, that's what it is.
Well, I wanted to get that out of the way. Clearly, I wasn't able to get the show on either of our main social media feeds. I apologize for that. As I said, we'll make sure that is rectified for next week. But with all that being said, we did have a interesting, I think, weekend of college football. There was a lot of games that didn't go necessarily the way we thought they would. Probably number one from a local standpoint around here, not probably, but surely from a local standpoint around here was Kentucky hosting South Carolina as a, what, 9-point favorite?
9.5-point favorite, yes.
And everybody felt good about it.
And
I mean, everybody.
They got beat in pretty much every aspect of a football game that you can get beat at. And Fred, I was just going to ask you right off the top, what's wrong with the Wildcats?
Well, where do we start? You know, you got all the fans down there. You're in a big rival. Everyone knows that South Carolina comes in there, and they have Kentucky on their list. That is a team that they have got to beat. Every year, that is a team that they pump up. If you haven't heard it on Feinbaum, if you haven't heard it on the SEC Network After Hours, when you hear little buddy, what's his name?
Who?
The coach.
Mark Stoops? Oh,
no.
Shane Beamer?
Shane Beamer. When you hear little Shane say with his
Shane.
Kids and everything, he's going to whoop Kentucky's ass, you better believe that everybody knows it. I'm not quite sure anyone in Lexington takes it serious, but they better.
I mean, how many?
Because he's been whooping
this?
On them for a while now, and it's a that is a that was a huge game. They all been saying the Auburn game.
I think he's been there 4 years and has a 3-1 record against them. So it might have lost.
Right, but a lot of people thought the Gamecocks were down. A lot of UK fans, and I can recall talking to many of them saying that. The game that was going to be their measuring stick at the beginning of the year was going to be Auburn, not South Carolina. And now a normal, a logical fan would say, we got to win any SEC game we can. But a lot of them were chirping. And look, I put money on UK. I thought they were going to go in guns blazing, ready to go for this one. I thought South Carolina was on somewhat of a down year. But I'm telling you, Beamer's a master motivator, dude, to another level. He can get those kids to believe. And when you go into Kentucky and they come out flat like they did, I mean flat like a Clemson pizza that's been run over 100 times.
Hell yeah.
I mean,
I was going to jump
flat,
in, but I was like, I want to see where you go with
this. As flat as you can get. And dude... The offensive line, will start there. What in the world? I mean, everyone that's listening to this show knows where I'm going with this. What in the world is going on there? Well, number one, y'all took Bama. If you didn't watch Bama last year and their offensive line woes, you should have paid attention because now you got the old offensive line coach, Wolford from Bama. You saw Milroe fumbling snaps. The offensive line had penalties galore, and that's with Saban there. Well, worse is happening up in Lexington. They couldn't run the ball. I mean, I really want to get into it with you all because I was grilling
over the fact that he was at Kentucky before he went to Bama. So Mark Stoops knows all about this guy.
Right.
And he left Stoops while on a recruiting visit.
And went to Bama.
Went to Bama, and then Stoops has taken him back.
Right.
So, okay, carry on.
No, and I started grilling.
Yeah.
I started grilling wieners for my hot dog dip that never happened. And we'll have to do that next week, my Joey Chestnut special.
2 weeks from now.
And but I want to get into you all because I heard you all earlier talking about some breakdowns, and I want you all to get into it because I took my eyes off it after the first quarter.
You can go ahead, Travis, with the breakdowns. I more or less have a question that I would like to get answered.
Well, I mean, there were a couple of, in my opinion, enormous plays that happened early in that ball game. Number one was right at the beginning of the game, Kentucky was driving down the field, handing the ball off up the middle, two or three chunk plays in a row, and then they ran a jet sweep outside that got stuffed for a loss of, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 yards. And it seemed like at that point there was a switch that flipped because Kentucky did not consistently try to run up the middle again until the game was out of hand. The other obvious thing was relatively early in the ball game. Kentucky has the ball on their own side of the field, and it's 4th and 1 or 4th and 2, whatever it was. And I'm at Freddie's house, and I saw that it was 4th and 1 or whatever it was, and I turned to talk to a friend. And when I turned back around, South Carolina had the ball driving. And I said, they didn't go for it, did they? And then that opened the floodgate. All the UK people, I can't believe what I just saw. They just went for it on, you know, first quarter against a team that you're supposed to be better than. It was a panic move. In my opinion, I even said something to the effect was of, boy, it sure looks like you're panicking. And one of the UK fans there came up to me and said, "What do you mean looks like?" They panicked. That was a panic move. And really, after that point, I mean, the game never, it wasn't out of hand from a score standpoint, but early on, I think we all felt like Kentucky was not going to win that football game.
Field position is so big in these SEC games. You can't panic. I mean, dude, use your punter. Use field position. Take your time.
Especially in a game where you're the favorite.
Right.
They were acting like they were playing Georgia already and have, like, we can't afford to lose a possession even 4 minutes into the ball game.
Not to mention, we spent all summer hearing that this is the best defense in Kentucky history.
Right.
It's so, an Auburn move.
But, that's right.
You see teams running all kinds of fake play, of crazy plays, you know that they don't have enough willpower to win. Kentucky panicked, get into it.
I think my favorite stat of this game was that Brock Vandergriff had a 30-yard completion to Dane Key, and he ended the game with 30 passing yards. But he was 3 of 10, which means the other two were behind the line of scrimmage for a loss.
Oh, no.
Ugh.
So,
that's the second oh no of,
yeah.
of
so
the podcast
that, and,
tonight.
That the freshman, Dylan Stewart is his name, for South Carolina. How do they recruit these defensive ends all the time that are just complete monsters?
Monsters.
They get them every year.
Dude, their wide receivers were playing so huge in that game. Mm. UK's defense was awful. Their secondary was awful. I mean, their attitude was awful.
Okay, my question, this is where I want to go with this, and I would really love to know what you guys think. At what point do we just start saying that Mark Stoops hates defensive coordinators? Because, like, it's a rotating door down there. And, like, you're not going to tell me that all these guys are terrible that have been there.
Right,
you know, Eddie, right. Georgia tried to hire Eddie Grant when he was there.
Right, yeah.
Who was it? Liam Coen, we bashed him. He goes to the Rams, does well, comes back to Kentucky, does awful, goes down to Tampa, and they were the number one offense this past Sunday.
Right.
So, look what he's done with Baker Mayfield. Like, he did that with him with the Rams when he came in. Like, why does he suck? Like, I don't – does Mark Stoops say, hey – you're going to do this, but you're going to do it under my watchful eye, and I'm only going to let you be so creative. Is that what's going on?
I have no idea.
Like, I feel like we can't blame this on offensive coordinators anymore. Like, Bush Hamden may be the greatest play caller on the face of the earth, but we may never know because Mark Stoops won't allow it. So I don't know. He may be terrible. I just don't know.
I think there's some serious questions that need to be answered.
Well, I know Stoops was quick to throw him under the bus in the press conference.
And was he?
Yeah, he's just like, I don't know what was up with this play calling. He's like, that's something we're going to have to really talk about.
And then you have Georgia coming to town.
Well, I think we knew that that game was going to be
You think they were
lost.
Looking ahead a little bit, too?
I know. They knew that they were going
to
lose.
How can you look ahead to that?
It's a conference game that you had to win against South Carolina. If you wanted to make a bowl game this year, you had to beat them. I mean, honestly. Because what's their other team they play? They got Ohio coming
in? They
got
to beat Auburn.
Ohio is
they
a legit.
They got to beat Auburn.
Like, that. The
Ohio's playing well.
That's what I'm saying. They could come in and smack them. I don't, like, Auburn, I don't know what to make out of Auburn. They could come up there and smack them. Vanderbilt looks damn good right now.
Yeah,
they
Vanderbilt looks better than Auburn.
Florida, I mean, that may be their only damn conference win.
I don't know.
And we don't know about that. Is that down there this year or is it up here? I don't know. But they're going to beat Louisville because they always do, and until we beat them, it's my opinion is not going to change.
I appreciate you saying that, but and obviously it's early in the season, but I just can't fathom that right now with the way both these teams are playing.
Yeah. We'll put it this way. We'll put a bow on this one. There's a lot of pressure on Stoops right now in Lexington.
Oh, yeah.
Believe me.
I think all his numbers are coming to reality now.
What was like, it? What it's it, been is he 2-28 versus SEC teams with winning records?
That finished the season with
season with winning records.
Let's honestly, I think Louisville has saved his job the last couple of years. I mean, think about look at last year. If Kentucky doesn't come back and beat Louisville, they look at that season in a completely different manner.
You know what? I think that there is a lot of that happening. Pat Forty actually read into that and said, look, a lot of this is masked by beating Louisville. Yeah,
damn right.
When God, they're
the
going
greatest
through their,
undercover job we've
their
ever
changes.
Done.
And, and then what do? They go on their bowl game. And I don't care who's playing and who doesn't, because it happens on both teams. But they have gotten drummed in the last couple bowl games. And I mean drummed. They got drummed by Iowa. That was the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen. And then, of course, you probably think you're probably not going to beat Clemson. But UK has beaten Clemson in bowl games before because I've been there. So,
I was with you. I was with you.
That's right.
It was a CJ Spiller, wasn't it?
So, yeah. I did my UK two-step. Them Clemson fans had Tommy Bowden.
I was going to say, this was before Clemson was Clemson.
Right.
Those are Stoops' best wins or bowl games. What, he beat Iowa and Penn State?
Well,
bowl
he
games?
Did for a while, but lately he's been losing all those, too. So, anyways, big problems in Lexington.
Tuna,
it's almost basketball season.
Tuna, I know that it wasn't the greatest of competition, but how did you feel about U of L's performance this weekend?
Yeah, like I said, man, it almost kind of sucks when you start off with two opponents like this. That
you ain't going to talk long about this one.
I'm not going to talk long about it.
No, I just wanted a quick hitter.
It's
on
just
it.
Like we're still waiting, and now we're on bye this week, so we have to wait another week before we can actually get some sort of an idea of what we have.
Right.
Because right now it's still up in the air. I will say there was some stuff that, you know, they
had a few drives.
Rich Rod
on y'all.
Did some gimmicky stuff. And,
he did.
And we struggled with a mobile quarterback, which is concerning when you look at we have several mobile quarterbacks coming up on our roster. But hopefully our linebackers figured out how to contain it. And there's a lot of stuff on film that we can learn from. And
right.
I guess just enjoy the bye week, which makes no damn sense at week three. And let's roll into Georgia Tech in 2 weeks.
They had a few drives
down the field.
Or welcome
Georgia Tech here.
But they did come back. They covered, took care of business. Let's say that they have one of the best, a couple of the best defensive players in the country, Quincy Riley being one of them. Mm-hmm. And then they have a lot of speed at wide receiver. So,
I think the running back is probably the
biggest
the
running
spot
back,
here.
Sure.
The true freshman, Isaac Brown. He's an electric player. But one thing is, Donald Chaney, the transfer from Miami, he did suffer a bit of an ankle injury in that one. He may be out a couple weeks, but luckily we still have four or five guys we can go to.
Yeah, there you go.
If you're going to lose a spot, the running back's the way to do it.
That's right.
Well, take a breather, Card Nation. Take a breather for a week.
It's like college football finally here. All right, beat up some scrubs and take a week off.
Right. So, I know. That's tough.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, that Georgia Tech game, notwithstanding the fact that Georgia Tech rolled into Syracuse this weekend and got beat.
Love the Syracuse team, by the way. Fran Brown, obviously, like what he did on the recruiting trail, and when you listen to him talk, you're like, all right, this guy may have something up there. He's not going to be up there for long. He's probably going to get a big-time job
pretty
soon.
Well, he's got a hell of a quarterback.
When you start beating big schools out for recruits to get them to go to Syracuse, and the other ADs notice that. And they're like, okay, let's keep an eye out. And I guarantee he's been on a lot of watch lists already.
Yeah, so, I think Syracuse and Georgia Tech, I knew that game would be tight. I did not go near that game, but I knew it would be tight, and it was. And I think those two teams are a lot alike.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Weird things happen up there at that dome, too.
Yeah, they do.
Like,
I've been there.
Always,
you know, I've been there.
There.
I've been in the...
For basketball or football?
Basketball. Mm. Been in the dome. I have a lot of family in Syracuse.
Probably
New York.
For any of my IU listeners, I bet you are going to know what I'm going to say before I say it. The weirdest thing that ever happened at the Carrier Dome.
This has to be a basketball
from
story.
A basketball standpoint. That is where in the book, the famous book by John Feinstein, A Season on the Brink, Indiana's season ends at the Carrier Dome with a loss to Cleveland State in the first round of the
Mouse
NCAA
McFadden.
Tournament. Yes, that's right.
Dang.
That's absolutely right.
and their coach was a great dude.
I know, and I can't remember
Kevin
his name.
Something. He was kind of like Valvano a little bit. He was
except for the fact he ended up.
He had some problems.
He ended up getting arrested for buying crack from an undercover cop.
That's right. Yeah.
I hate when that happens.
But then he came full circle, came back, and ended up as a scout for the Pacers, of all things.
There you go.
And they made a little movie about him, and I'm sorry that I can't remember his name right now, but it totally escapes me. But anyway, quickly, I just wanted to say the same thing regarding Indiana. It's not every day that IU scores 77 points. As a matter of fact, it had never happened in program history.
Woo!
It's not every day that they get 701 yards of offense. In fact, that was the first time in history. It was the largest margin of victory in program history.
I just loved your excitement Friday night while you're texting the group text. I was like, Travis is hyped right now, and I love it, man.
I was
Deshaun Foster's in big trouble.
Yeah, he is.
I was
for a lot of reasons.
I was pleased that Indiana did what they should have done, and that's not always the case. And I was pleased that the head coach of Indiana wasn't jumping up and down on the sidelines, acting like every point they scored was a big deal. He was furious at the end of the first half when they gave up a field goal. And I just love kind of that mentality, and I cannot wait, and I'm going to talk about it at the end of the show, but I cannot wait for Saturday night at the Rose Bowl.
Yep.
I'll be there.
Your big trip.
Indiana plays UCLA in a game that if Indiana wins, they have a very legitimate shot to start the season 5-0, just as I predicted. But with that being said, we got the local teams out of the way. Yeah. Now I'd like to talk about the other games that we saw in week one, and Freddie apparently has something he
wants to... I mean, I don't have a local team, but by God.
No. I said we just got through the local teams.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the other games that made an impact on us and things that we look back on as huge games, even as early in the season as it is. So, Fred?
Well, I'm just going to give a rundown real quick about my Bama game.
Oh, please.
You know, I mean, 42-16 is a facade, folks. That game was a 2-point game into the fourth quarter, deep into the fourth quarter. And I really was beside myself. We were just not flat. South Florida was making things happen. They were moving down the field on us. Our defense was out on the field for a long period of time. We had tons of offensive line woes, a la Kentucky. We may have the second worst offensive line coach in the country. I'm not going to mention any names, but we finally took Lugnut out of the game, who had six penalties and probably allowed three sacks from South Florida. And, put in Elijah Prickett, and who was hurt, but we had to literally put him in the game. It was that bad. He comes in and we score. We spread out, make a couple changes on the sidelines, and we score three touchdowns in 3 minutes and blow open the game. But I'm going to tell you, if you didn't think Freddie was sweating at around 9:30 Saturday night, I was
sweating out them high noon pies.
Shout out to Josh for a little barbecue bourbon shot to get me through the through my rut, and after that it was smooth sailing. Anyways, that was so Bama got their win. We go to Wisconsin. We'll talk about that later down in the show. Tuna, I thought that I would get into one quick game. I figure let's just, we've got to talk about Notre Dame, Northern Illinois.
Have to.
Jump into it.
Yeah, so basically, I'm an idiot. I said the past 2 weeks that Riley Leonard was going to win the Heisman Trophy.
Is that in your envelope?
It is, and it's over with. Actually, it's week two, and I think everything in my envelope has already gone to shit. So I've got, I think, one small chance here. One small chance
so
to get one.
So the one that says one. You're going to win the fantasy league is in
no,
there,
No,
too?
That's not in there. Yeah, that's gone to shit, too. But anyway, Riley Leonard was bad. There's just no way around it. He was all over the place. He couldn't complete a pass. He wasn't even running good. That offensive line needs to be fixed. I don't understand how they won down at Texas A&M.
Well, they won sluggishly.
They did. They uglied the game up.
They literally had one run that broke the game open, don't you think?
Yeah, pretty much. But still, to hold up the way they did in an environment and then just to get collapsed by this Northern Illinois team, which – shout out
not
to the
bad
Mac.
Team. Not
the
a bad
Mac
team.
Is legit
the
right
Mac
now.
The Mac is legit.
Except for Buffalo. But
they are.
Which that brings me to a quick point. I just want to ask you guys, and I'm sure you guys will be 100% on my side. So Fred picked Notre Dame to win the national championship,
uh-huh.
Right? Northern Illinois beat Notre Dame.
Oh, geez.
Northern Illinois beat Western Illinois by 40.
Oh, shit.
Indiana beat Western Illinois by 74. So, from my standpoint, Indiana's
the new national
is
champion.
30 points better than the possible national champions.
Fred's going to have to take the other team from Indiana and put them as
no,
national
I don't like when – I don't want the
– I'm just saying it's simple math, boys. Right.
Yeah.
It's simple math.
I was waiting for it. He told me about that Saturday night.
It's simple math.
I like it. I think it adds up. But, I mean, back to this game, dude. Like, I don't know, like, is Notre Dame completely done now? Can they scrap back into the top 12?
I think they can.
Like, their schedule is not pretty, so, like, there's a strength of schedule issue there.
I think this was
obviously
a game.
They got USC at the end of the year, so that could really kind of ramp it up. I don't know if Louisville's going to be maybe a top 20 team by the, you know, when
it
they
doesn't
go up
matter.
There.
All they have to do is win through.
Still, I don't know. I mean, that's a tough loss at home.
And the funny thing, and I mentioned this the other night because I think we all were saying the same thing. Like, well, all they have to do is win out. What have they done to suggest that they're going to win out?
Well, dude.
Nothing. They won their first game.
That's
and then
what
lost
I mean,
game.
Nothing.
Yeah.
That's what
nothing.
I'm trying to get at. I was getting ready to say that Notre Dame has a pattern under the new regime.
Freeman.
Under Freeman and his new regime, that when they win the big game, which if Texas A&M is a big game, okay. But it was I get it. It was a big game in College Station on big TV.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. But then they lose the next one.
But they did it last year. They have problems
so
with
success.
So you're saying
that Freeman is just like Jeff Brohm?
They have problems with success.
Because Jeff Brohm's done that his whole career.
One of the greatest things Nick Saban ever did drink is that
Kool-Aid.
That he kept his team winning after – you know, you've got to be able to deal with success.
No, I get that, man.
And Notre Dame has a big problem when they win the big game. They come out flat and literally lose to Northern Illinois. I don't care how good Northern Illinois is going to be down the line in their conference.
No, there's no reason you
there's
lose
no
to them,
reason
especially
you lose
at home.
To them. It was a letdown after a big win.
Yeah. Well, I think, like I said, Jeff Brohm does the same thing his entire career, so...
All right, let's. I'm gonna throw another one at you there, Tuna.
You gonna bring up Penn State?
Okay.
That was another MAC team that got hot.
Right.
And gave them
Travis
hell.
Called out Bowling Green a while back, saying that they were going to have a strong season.
He was the first proclaimer of Bowling Green.
And guess what? We're big they fans play of Texas A&M next week.
Right.
And if you don't think I'm not betting on Bowling Green, because I think they're better than Texas A&M. Personally,
like, how does Penn State come out and do what they did last week with their defense and then come out against Bowling Green, let them score 27? You know what? It's the same situation as Notre Dame almost.
I'm going to say this, though, real quick about Penn State. Like, you can come out and start out flat. They did make wonderful adjustments at halftime and only gave up 3 points in the second half. So there is talent there. I think Drew Ayler looked a little rough. I still can't get behind this guy. But maybe that's just like a subconscious thing with Penn State quarterbacks I have a hard time with. But, I mean, they did. Credit to Penn State for coming out and really almost blanking them in the second half. So
right. So, now I was more going to get to a game that I thought was a lot of fun at the beginning of the day. Oklahoma State and Arkansas.
Man, this one hurt, dude. This is like a heartbreaker.
I know. Gosh. Like, how can you let them come back?
Fumbled,
I mean,
and just ruined it. And they just
were they up 24-7 at one point?
And then, but they had like three fumbles in a row.
Right
there,
which is so like, weird. Like, I don't,
Arkansas always does this. It's the most Arkansas way to lose ever. I don't understand how like one university like can lose the same way over and over and over again.
I was actually listening to the Arkansas radio broadcast of that game as the second half was going along, and the Arkansas announcers were almost saying that exact same thing. They both said, like, we look up at the scoreboard and it doesn't seem right. Like, seems like Arkansas should be up by three touchdowns. It was a tie ball game. And
right.
I think that's just
there's no doubt that like Sam Pittman is probably one of my favorite people in sports.
I know.
In general, like that dude
so
is as
Bobby.
Awesome as it gets, and he's probably gonna get fired sometime soon.
Well, dude, I wouldn't hold back that game. I have a feeling that they're gonna have some success.
I love
SEC.
This little quarterback, dude.
I think they're gonna. That's one man that they're gonna wish they would have gotten, but it's not in conference. They're not expected. If they go to a bowl game, they have done something this year.
He's kind of like that Matt Jones that played there years ago, where, like, he looks like he's running slow, but he's just pulling away from everybody.
Right,
like,
right.
I don't know. I kind of like this Arkansas team. I just feel like their schedule is...
I think they're going to shock a team or two,
I hope they do, and I'd like to see Sam Pittman keep his job. There's been a lot of rumors lately about my boy Summerall being on the number one list for Arkansas already.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
Don't get ahead of yourself.
I know. Dude, believe me, I want Pittman to stay put. I think Pittman can
win. But you can't let I'm a man, I'm 60 back in the game. Because that coach can, dude, that's what he does. He can, if they start believing, they can score points quick. Even, and you know, didn't they lose their running back? The All-American running back got hurt in that game.
Yeah, but I don't think he's out for long, right?
Right. I did get 10 on that game and won, I'm happy to say. I think a great game that I wanted to talk about was Oregon Boise State. Did anybody see that game?
Oh
yeah,
yeah,
man.
Oh my god,
thing.
That game was so damn
Ashton
exciting.
Jonty, is that how you say his name? Jonty?
Yes.
Jonty?
Jonty.
I mean, he's unstoppable. That kid's a full-on freak athlete. Like, I don't get it.
And you know what's annoying me is I've already missed two of the biggest games, and I'm kind of looking at my little list, but we got, hold on a minute.
Like Maddox Madsen.
No, we got, dude, Oregon's is looking sluggish, folks. Let's be real. Boise can put a lot of points on the board. They cannot stop anybody, but Boise is one of the top teams in our grouping with Tulane and Memphis and Bowling Green and some of those schools. But I apologize. I did not get into two of the biggest games. And we need to talk about...
You just flew right through this one?
We need to talk about Texas-Michigan.
Okay.
We need to talk about Texas, Michigan.
I don't really have anything to say about that game. I'm going to let you go.
Well, I'm going to say what you said. You said last week that Sherrod Moore was going to have was going to learn a lesson.
Yeah, he's not
on Saturday, and he did.
He's the head coach,
and I can't believe you didn't bet on it. But buddy, I did, and let me tell you something. Texas looks like a well-oiled machine, guys.
I just thought Michigan looked slow.
They look slow. Of course they
Where
have.
Where are they going to get offensive
They've
productivity?
Got a couple great
Who's
players.
Who's going to produce
that's a,
on
that's
offense?
A great question.
That's
because
what I'm
there's
saying.
Not one player.
It certainly isn't going to come from the quarterback.
LeVette's not doing no. – he can't get the ball. Of course they've got a great lineman there, and Will Johnson is great, but they can't bring that team to get wins. I mean, the Big Ten is – looks like to be Ohio State, maybe USC, maybe IU, and nobody else. No. I mean, they are Ohio State, and there's a big drop-off
I think you could say that about every conference out there.
Well, the SEC has 16s in the top 10.
Let me say.
But.
There's a drop-off between the top four.
Right.
Quite frankly, from a Big Ten standpoint, we all thought that Oregon was going to be right on par with Ohio State. How do we know that Ohio State is as good as we think they are?
True.
They haven't played anybody.
Oh, of course. And of course they haven't played anybody.
I'll answer that question with their roster. And it's like, if I sit back and I look at
But
rosters,
isn't Oregon's roster right there with
them? But, hey, Travis, if I bet.
I don't know enough
if they
about
played
Oregon's
each
players
other today,
to think that they're up there.
If they played each other today, tonight, Ohio State would drum them the way Oregon State is.
Fair enough.
Oregon is playing.
Fair enough.
Oregon has played two teams, Idaho and Boise State, and they barely won. Barely won. Their defense is not looking good at all, and they're not putting a lot of points on the board like they're used to. Usually they're like 48.
Do you think
whatever
that
now USC looks as good as anybody in the Big Ten, right?
Yep.
You what
think
were you
Will
gonna
Howard
say?
Is the guy that can win at Ohio State?
Who?
Will Howard.
I do. Okay. I think the kid looks as good.
I think
as
he's
advertised.
Off to a slow start considering all the weapons that he has around him.
But of course, Ohio State ain't playing about who they got this week.
I don't think they play anybody this
week.
Oh,
God. So they're awful. I can't stand them because their schedule's so
they
trash.
They did beat that Western Michigan team 56-0,
God.
Which I know you're going to roll your eyes at that, but who was it that Western Michigan gave hell to the week before? Might have just been Michigan State, maybe. But anyway, I mean, get in the weeds on that.
Well, in the SEC, you got Georgia, Texas, Tennessee, and Ole Miss, and then there's a drop-off. But those four are up there. I don't think the Big Ten has four at the top right now that are like those four.
I would agree with that.
The same with the other. Dude, the Big 12 is all over the place, buddy. They are like... You got wins, losses. They're the Wild West, and we knew they would be.
That's what I think that's going to end up being a one-bid league because they're going to beat each other up.
Right.
And I think the ACC is going to end up being a one-bid league because it's god-awful.
Do you have a status on Cam Rising?
Yeah.
Do you have a status on him?
No, it's up in the air again, and God knows. It's all about whatever his family doctor says.
Let me tell you something. God. If that kid's healthy, Utah will win that conference. If he's
not.
Yeah,
they're the team. I think just what they did last year with a backup quarterback, I'd like to think that they spent some NIL money on a secure backup for Cam again.
Right.
I don't know, maybe. I have no idea. It's just a well-coached football team. But either way, I think that's a one-bid league out there. And
oh, man.
You're going to have, like, probably Miami from the ACC getting the one-bid there and Utah getting the one-bid there. And it's just going to be a bunch of Big Ten and SEC schools.
Well, I watch out for K-State. They could pop up there.
They've got a fun one Friday night.
Right, right. And, dude, here.
Against Arizona.
K-State-Tulane was a great game. We all know Tulane's good. We all know that Tulane is going to possibly be in the top 25 when it gets to be 12-team playoff time. So watch out for Tuna's pick. Tulane, they are a great betting team. They have Oklahoma this weekend, and that will not be an easy game. What I wanted to get with you real quick, guys, while we were talking about all this, about the SEC and the Big 12 and everything, I found this interesting. I wanted to run this by y'all. And this is really cool, and I think this is going to make Tuna real happy. Through 2 weeks, Travis, the Power Five, and we're including Notre Dame, Oregon State, Washington State. We'll include them in there. The Power Five versus non-conference versus non-conference games versus other Power Five teams, okay? So what is their record right now into week two? And I'm going to tell you, the ACC, 5-5. The Big 12, 5-6. The Big 10, 4-4. Notre Dame, 1-0. Pac-12, 1-0. SEC, 5-6. Through 21 games, only 7 were decided by more than 7 points. And that is telling you what, Tuna? What's the word? Parity. Mm-hmm. And you love that. That's what Tuna preached at the beginning of the year, several podcasts ago, when we started talking about college football. That's all that he asked for, and that is what is happening right now.
Well, I think
to a certain extent,
I would like to see those numbers for the past few years, because I feel like on paper there is parity, but in perception there's not, and it's because the networks push certain programs and conferences to get it where they want, and they just disregard others. But there is parity. I think we've had the same conversation at the beginning of last season when some of the big teams or big conferences were taking lumps early.
Right.
But it goes on. It's happening.
Dude, you got Arizona State beating Mississippi State. You got Oregon beating a good Boise State team. Cal beating Auburn.
Well, that's what I've kind of always said about these big power conferences. Like, you could look at the Big Ten, and they were at 2 to 3 teams, and that was Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State. And then after that, it was a bunch of teams that I'm not scared of. They're all decent.
Right.
And then you look at the ACC, where it would be like Florida State and Clemson, and then a bunch of teams that nobody's really scared of.
Right.
And then you go to SEC, where for a long time it was Bama and Georgia.
Right.
And
I get it.
You know what I mean?
I'm with you. And then, like, for instance, Illinois. We thought they were a bottom feeder in the Big Ten. I mean, we predicted it. We had Kansas up fairly high, and they beat them. And that was one of those games. That was one of those pick'em games that threw us off. We're like, something's wrong there. And, of course, we lost on it.
Well,
I did.
Bielema just.
Hey, last game, guys. What about – well, I do want to get into two more real quick. Iowa State, Iowa. That was a fun game.
It actually had way more offense than you idiots would have thought. So,
and not Travis, me. No. I took the over.
Travis,
I
was talking wins to our listeners. On the over.
Travis come out and he took the over, and I laughed and I was like, "The ball's on that man." And then, and then it covered, and I was like, "Yeah, you're damn right." I was like,
"Dude,
the Rock and
Iowa
not
State,
the Rock, but Rock and Rudy."
You know
clapping.
What? I love Iowa State's coach. I love that guy. I'm telling you right now, Iowa State is gonna make some. Is gonna have some upsets.
See, I would peg you as a Matt Campbell hater.
No, I love Matt Campbell.
No, it just
I've always bet on Iowa State because they have a great defense, mm-hmm. and I mean they couldn't hold Iowa. I mean they held Iowa to 19.
Yeah, it's not necessarily
but
a great
no, but
defense,
they do but. Have a really good defense, and they have a solid program. They have a solid program going at Iowa State. They're going to go to a bowl game this year, I guarantee it. But they're not going to do anything crazy. But they will upset somebody. You
no, they're a
see.
Team that you don't want to walk into and play.
All
like
right.
You see them on their schedule, that, you're like, I'm out of here.
And then
let's finish with
Tennessee, NC State.
Nothing
that was the marquee game of the week.
NC State's trash. I don't know what happened to.
Well, I know what happened.
Grayson
I told you they
McCall?
Were going to get drummed.
Well, I mean, what's happened to Grayson McCall? Like, he has been absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you?
You're right.
How do you like? Be a college athlete and you're past your prime.
Like, he has no zip on his ball. Like, I mean, he has nothing. I don't get it. He's a shell of what he was.
He's a shell of a man.
He's the problem with that team. I really, that's it. Like, Casey Conception is just like, dude, bring back whatever scrub we could have put in here from last year, and we'll do better than what Grayson's doing. I don't know. It's tough to watch because I've always kind of been a Grayson McCall fan, but it's over.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, Tennessee is winning with defense.
No, it's a great team.
They are winning with defense. Don't let that score fool you. They are winning with defense. They may have put up whatever, 40, whatever.
Squirrel White has been at Tennessee for 42 years.
Dude, they are in the top 10 in sacks and tackles for a loss, maybe leading the country.
Well,
the Nebraska
I'll say
is
this,
up there.
Every
in that
single
category.
Game that they play this year, they're going to have the best player on offense and the best player on defense.
Right.
I mean, every game.
I mean, I think Tennessee's a lock to make it into the 12-team playoff. I have them in there.
They sure seem like it right now.
Yeah. I mean, they are for sure. They are one of the scariest teams out there playing right now. Buddy, if they play Georgia right now, I'd be putting my money on Tennessee. I can tell you that. Yes, I would.
I love it.
I know.
I love that.
All right, man. What do you think, Travis? I think that's kind of wrapped up everything.
That wraps up everything from last week. Now we are looking ahead to this week's college football slate.
I smell sausage.
Yeah, something smells amazing.
Something smells amazing in this
bacon.
Yeah, there's BLTs being
upstairs.
It is trickling its way down into the studio.
Hey, you know, I mean, you don't think tuna can smell bacon?
Yeah, I spotted that immediately. I just thought I was sweating.
I just thought I was sweating.
So we've got a full slate, again, of college football. Maybe not as many marquee games as we had last week, but as we talked about prior to recording tonight, for, I think as Tuna described us, psychopaths like us, we can find a lot of games that interest us. I'm going to start right off the top, right off the bat. Did not tell the guys I was going to ask them this. Indiana opens as a 3-point favorite at UCLA on the road. The first time Indiana has been favored in a road Big Ten game, I think since pre-COVID.
Welcome to the league, Pac-12.
I'd like to ask you both just a quick question before we move on to other games. Tuna, does Indiana cover?
Yes. I'm always going to go against UCLA until they get a new coach, just because the way he talks.
Freddie.
I think that IU covers in this game as well. I think IU's going to win. I'm looking at 28-10.
I guarantee there's going to be more IU fans out there than there is UCLA fans.
I think that is probably going to be the case. I've been on some social media this week. I'm on a big text thread or a Twitter thread where everybody that is going to the game has put their name in, and it seems like it's going to be a huge – and it's a big deal for other Big Ten schools, especially those that have not been fortunate enough to have their team play in the Rose Bowl
game. Yeah,
that's
a bucket list for you, man.
It's a huge deal to get to go to the Rose Bowl and watch a college football game. And obviously I want Indiana to win and to play well, but more than anything, I am tickled that I get to go there and actually watch the game. So that being said, other games, guys, that you guys have your eyes on, I know we talked about some outside, but just a few that maybe pique your interest or things that you think we should be looking at as the weekend goes forward.
I'm going to start off. I guess this is one of my favorite games every year, and I don't know how much more it's going to happen. We're going to the Civil War. This is Oregon versus Oregon State. Oregon, like we said earlier, they've been sluggish.
They've been able to eke wins out. They've been able to make it happen. Now they're going into Corvallis, Oregon, for a chainsaw game.
And that is Oregon State 2-0.
Oregon State is 2-0.
Okay.
So,
and their new coach is Trent Bray.
Yes, that is correct.
And Trent Bray
He was part of that staff last year, correct?
Oh, he moved up. Right. Man, so, they haven't lost a lot.
No.
So, that's interesting. I kind of like Oregon State
in this game. It's a 16-point.
To cover.
It's a 16-point spread. There's no way Oregon's going to win this by 16 in Corvallis. And believe me, the hatred has always been there. It's there even more now that they left them. You know what I mean? It's their big brother left them. And so there's definitely a chip on the Beaver shoulders. Chainsaws are going to be out at high noon. And going to town. So I love this. It's 3:30 Eastern time, which is 12:30 Pacific Coast time. So it's a morning game out there. There's going to be a lot of crazy Beaver fans getting out there early. I don't know. I just really like Oregon State in this game.
Okay.
We're going to see what Oregon does. I think Oregon's probably going to win this, but like you said, 16 points
cover,
is a bit,
it'll be a good
bit
game.
Extreme. And then go ahead.
Oh, dude, I have a game that's kind of, and this is not my team, who has a pretty, I don't know, a mediocre game, I guess you could say. But this game has really caught my eye. Missouri at verse Boston College. I don't have that being at Boston College. Is that some sort of
site
can
game?
Y'all check that for me? That is a 12:45 game.
It's at Missouri in Columbia,
so
Missouri.
So it is at Missouri.
Yeah, Memorial Stadium.
Buddy, won't that be interesting to see Boston College, who has kind of gotten our attention, beating up on Florida State down there in Tallahassee, going against Dinkeschnitz. Hey, there couldn't be two coaches further apart from how they act than Dinkeschnitz, who will rip your heart out and spit on you, and then
Bill O'Brien.
Lughead, Bill O'Brien. I'm not saying that is a crazy game, but it did spark my interest. I'm going to keep an eye on that.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, Fred, that there's two games that I really care about the outcome this week. Number one is the Indiana-UCLA game. Obviously, I want Indiana to win. Mm-hmm. Number two, I want Missouri to lose by 40 freaking points.
Go, Bill O'Brien!
I want Bill O'Brien's cleft chin, cigar-smoking ass to go for two when they're up by 30.
I think that
on the last possession of the game.
I think Missouri could be due a little letdown here, you know?
It could be. I need to see something from both these teams more.
Okay.
I don't really know. Like,
that's why I think the game's so interesting.
But, like, I just kind of want to.
What's Vegas know? I mean, they had the spread tight against Michigan and NC State, and I'd won 100 on both of them.
Yeah,
and dominated.
No, I'm just saying that's the number, and I don't think that I want to bet on it per se. I just kind of want to watch it, and if I was forced gun to head, I would probably go with Boston College to not get beat by 17, just because Castellanos is such a little asshole. Like, I mean, he really is. That's the only way I know how to describe the way he plays. He's just a slippery little asshole. But look, Bill O'Brien's a good coach. He did it at Penn State. He was successful there.
And don't you think he's going to figure out a way to keep the game competitive?
That's kind of where I'm at with it. Yeah, he's too good of a coach.
I can't imagine them going in there and getting blown out. I just can't imagine it.
I think Dinkeschnitz is a little – he has a little
with that
sweat
being said,
on
I am not
brow.
Betting this game.
But they are supposed to be SEC, so we'll see.
Let's talk about Bama at Wisconsin.
Jump around.
I mean, that's a strange game, if you will. I had possible tickets, but when I heard it was at 12 noon, there's no way I was traveling 8 hours to not be able to tailgate Wisconsin fans for a long time.
You get to see Gus Johnson jump around at the start of the fourth quarter in the booth.
That's true.
I can't wait for that game.
Him and Joe Klatt.
Wisconsin has great fans. Luckily, it's not colder than shit up there. It's going to be fairly warm. But I do think that Wisconsin has not looked very good. And Bama, if they... I think they didn't even look good against South Dakota State or South Dakota State this past week. They didn't put many points on the board.
Wisconsin has some serious issues offensively, okay, and serious issues at the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. And unless something drastically changed from the first 2 weeks to this week, I think Alabama absolutely rolls
right
them.
But there's something to be said about Madison, Wisconsin.
Of course there is. Of course.
And I respect the town of Madison and the campus of Wisconsin and what they do there. I mean, that place is hard to play in, and it is loud, and those fans are for real.
And,
I know this.
Camp Randall is one of the biggest gyms of college football.
I've partied with Wisconsin fans, and they are nothing but fun and will drink you under the table.
Full disclosure, I have been to a game there, and I always tell people that I thought that from a road environment of the other team's fans, Wisconsin is one of the finest places I've ever been.
Right.
The fans were great.
Right.
The campus is beautiful. The town is cool as hell.
Right. And Bama fans will. Can you imagine all them Bama? Because you know they're going to travel.
Oh, of course
and
they will.
They're already up there.
I think those fans, they may stay up there and party with them till Sunday for a Packers game.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
because,
what I would do.
Bama fans are pretty cool. And I think that these two fan bases are going to get together and have some fun.
Bama
fans
are pretty cool.
They are. Like they are. They are. You got something else on the slate? Because it's really, let's be real, week three is kind of a dud.
Obviously, my guy down at Tulane going to Oklahoma, Boomer Sooner.
Oklahoma didn't look good, Tuna.
No, that's what I'm saying. Week. I think, like I said, with Sharon Moore getting a coaching clinic, I think our boy Vegetables is about to get a coaching clinic put on him.
I mean, this.
I'm not saying that Oklahoma's not going to win, but he's gonna have a confused Venables look that you see him have so many times.
Right.
He's going to have that a lot on Saturday.
This is like the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Yep. So you played Houston last week. And you beat them 16-12 at home after Houston got annihilated the week before. But Slick Willie Fritz used to coach at Tulane last year. Now you got Tulane coming in who is playing great, who has great skill players. And I think you're right, Tuna. I think that is another game where you take to the green wave and the points.
Yep. No doubt. And can I just say something real quick? Like, this is a throwback rivalry, conference rivalry weekend almost. You have the Apple Cup, you have the Civil War that we mentioned earlier,
right,
and you have the backyard brawl going on at 3:30.
Right.
Yeah. Pitt and West Virginia.
Exactly. And you got Texas and just on a side note, you know, you got the
Utah State,
Texas San Antonio Roadrunners playing at Texas. Now, they don't look very good this year, but they were supposed to be one of the top teams in that to make it to the playoff, possibly. It wasn't a Power 5 school.
How do we feel
about?
Do you want
to talk about the Pittsburgh game? No, you don't want to talk about it.
I like this Pittsburgh team. They're kind of scrappy. I hate Narduzzi, but anyway,
that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, it's but Neil Brown has to win this game because he left on such a hot note last year to like keep that momentum. The way that they lost to Penn State early on, I feel like you can get the fan base back on your side by beating Pitt. So
I think you're right. How do you guys feel about the, I know we mentioned it before, but we didn't really talk about it. And we don't need to spend any time on it. I'm just curious to know your initial gut reaction. How do you feel about the Notre Dame Purdue game?
Purdue, how the hell have they only played one game?
Like
they had that bye week earlier than Louisville did.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know. Purdue looked kind of electric there. I mean, they looked explosive on the offensive side of the ball. I don't know. I feel like Notre Dame has just got to regroup, and I'm curious to see how Riley Leonard rebounds. Like, we know the kid can play. He just looked so bad last week. But anyway, that's the big story, is how Riley Leonard comes out and plays. That, to me, that's where it is. So,
yeah, because I think Purdue probably has a serviceable offense. I think their defense is better than their offense. It is crazy to say, because after you saw what Notre Dame did offensively last week, I'm like, I'm not sure they Purdue can keep up with them from a score standpoint. Well, of course they can.
Yeah.
If they're going to score 10 points in a whole ball game or whatever. I like Purdue and the points in this game. I'm not going to make it one of my picks, but it's an auxiliary pick. It's out there in the ether. If I had to bet this game, I would take Purdue and the points.
Man, you've got to get your bets in before you leave town, because you can't do online betting in Nevada, and then they don't have it in California. So just a heads up.
Yeah, but can't I just walk into the sports book and
you can?
Oh, but then
but
I'd
have
to
cash
it there.
Yeah.
Yep, you're right. You're right. And actually, you can bet mobily, or at least you could in December out there. But even if you were in the sports book, it was a separate little kiosk that you had to cash in because. And I hate to bring this up, but that was unfortunately when I. Financed not only my trip but everybody else's by betting against Louisville against Florida State in basketball. Let's shift quickly from college football to the NFL. We had there's three of us down here, the original three tonight. We have a Colts fan, a Bengals fan, a Chiefs fan. Two of us came out of the weekend possibly a little disappointed with the outcomes. One of us, I think, as expected, was pleased with how their game went. But beyond our teams, was there something in the NFL that stuck out to you guys week one that we should be looking towards in week two?
Tuna, what you got?
Did you say that all our outcomes were well? What Freddie's wasn't.
No,
well,
I said there was one person.
Back up and back off.
I just wanted
pal.
To double touch on that.
If yeah, you, well, guess what?
If
yeah.
you rewind the tape, I said that Fred and I's teams both suffered losses and yours won.
Let me go ahead and
but
tell
I,
you.
But
all.
I know you needed to bring that back
up. Yeah,
I just wanted.
Well, there is a big Chiefs Bengals game this weekend at 4:25 p.m.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, the biggest thing to me that stood out was Deshaun Watson. What the hell, man? How has he been so bad? I don't understand how he could have been so good when he was to just be the quarterback. Like, is he the Grayson McCall of NFL?
I don't know what's going on with that kid.
Apparently they tried to pull him in the game, and he was like, no, I'm not coming out.
He's just not good. Dude, put it this way. How many other quarterbacks have you seen before him do well for Cleveland? Not Joe Flacco? How about him?
How much does it hurt to see Baker down there?
Baker
Tampa
Mayfield, all
up.
These other guys. I know, but think of all these quarterbacks that have done well when he's been in and out, in and out. Mm-hmm. And then he comes in and he sucks up the joint. I mean, Amari Cooper has to make some catches too. He dropped a couple balls. They just look like trash.
Yeah. It's I know it's week one, but
and Dallas has a tough D. Let's be real.
No,
I get it.
That's a really good defense, but I know it's just week one and you expect some sloppy play, but I thought there was bad quarterback play across the board. Like really, I did. Like you see some of these numbers and it was really bad. I mean, Josh Allen had to take to his feet to get it going. Kyler Murray was all over the place. Joe Burrow couldn't move the ball. Anthony Richardson, I mean, he completed 9 passes, but two of them were two of the prettiest deep balls you'll ever see in your life.
I think that first bomb he threw was maybe one of the best throws I've ever seen. But then, if you actually watch the entire game, he also missed guys that were 7 yards in front of him. He threw it 3 yards over their heads.
Well, that's kind of been the story of Anthony Richardson. Like, Fred can attest to this. When we watched him at Florida, we're like, I don't understand why everybody has this kid as one of the top quarterbacks going in the draft. And I guess it's just because of the tools. I'm telling you right now, Josh Allen made a lot of kids a lot of money. Because they took him who had – he had like a 52% completion percentage at Wyoming. And he ended up panning out. And now if your big physical can run and throw the ball really far without accuracy, teams are going to draft you and throw you in and give you a shot. And you're either going to get Josh Allen or you're going to get Carson Wentz. It's
right.
what I mean? It's one of the two.
Sure.
So – but, I mean, Anthony Richardson obviously has all the talent in the world. It's just if he can figure it out and put some touch on the damn ball. I thought the game in Brazil, that field was a disaster.
And let's talk about that for just a second because I was thinking about that. I think you had mentioned on our group text, like, this field is completely ridiculous. It's almost unplayable. And I was thinking, and I almost sent it back on our thread, like, well, these fields are some of the most manicured, beautiful fields in the world if you watch international soccer. And then I saw, I think it was J.J. Watt, who put out on Twitter, he was like, yeah, they're used to 150-pound guys making quick cuts and stuff, so they grow the grass different than they would for a 330-pound or 6 330-pound lineman twisting their cleats in the ground, and that's why. And it's completely you can't gauge one versus the other because it's not the same.
I was gonna say like maybe. We're too hard on Neymar flopping after we see, like, the field that, like, I understand why he's on the ground all the time now.
Except I think what
no,
J.J.
What you
Watt
said makes
was,
total sense.
Was absolutely right. He was like, the way they grow that grass is for the quick, the fast, the quick, the springy. It's not for guys digging their feet in and driving
but
like you have to
how
in football.
Come we don't have those same problems when they play in Germany or England?
Well, I don't do they play on natural turf over there?
I mean, you guys are the soccer people. I don't know.
No. I mean, well,
they play in soccer stadiums when they go.
Clearly in England, I would think that they do. Mm. That's they play those at Wembley, right?
I think so. Probably different ones. I know they played in
but
was it
I,
Munich or
but I also wonder
Frankfurt,
because
Germany.
England has had several years of games and preparation. I don't know about the was this game in Germany? Was that the first time?
Yeah, this past year was the Chiefs Dolphins played over. I believe it was
Frankfurt. Well, maybe those assholes in Brazil were just a bunch of cheaps.
Yeah, and well, I know.
Just a bunch of cheapskates.
Mexico City, we had that issue when they played the game down there. They had that and the laser pointers where everybody was shooting red dots in everybody's faces.
Yes.
So, yeah. Maybe we should just maybe not. Let's just maybe stop with international games after a while. I don't know.
Well, that's
I
mean, clearly not
going to
happen.
It's not ever going to happen.
That
but
genie's
I mean,
out of the bottle, and that's just going to be. That's going to be the way it is.
I feel like the NFL's just invading on everything. Like, they've took over Christmas already. That used to be the NBA's thing. Like, they're taking over Friday nights now. It's like Thursday night, Friday night, Sunday. Like, I mean, nothing can compete with the NFL. They just throw it out there, and they're like, well,
it doesn't matter.
Watch.
I mean, as we've talked about on this podcast before, the off season of the NFL is as big as the season of a lot of other professional sports.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's just, it's,
well, you're right.
It's insane, but that's the way it is.
Let me ask you on NFL. I've got a question for you guys. This new penalty about the illegal formations that,
yes,
was all out there in that, Chiefs Ravens game. And you've seen it a little bit on Sunday, but not as blatant. Explain this to me. Somebody, do you guys know? Because, I mean, is it just that the tackle is lining up too far back and he has to keep his foot further up? And is it saying that he has an advantage over the defensive end by doing that? Is that what that's for?
That was the way that I understood it, is that because it actually happened in some college games also.
Yeah, yeah.
Their left foot, and I was sitting on my deck watching it the other night, and after they called it the second time, I saw him line up, the Ravens guy line up, and I said, they're going to call it again, and they did, and I assume it's because if you can turn your body that way and get a step back in pass protection, and of course, it's one of those things that they said, we're going to make it a, what do they call
emphasis.
It? A position of emphasis this year. So they call it 10 times in the first game, and then they never really call it again.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that's the way it's going to be.
Well, hopefully,
for
because
the rest of the season.
That mucked the beginning of that game up. That
it
was a
did.
Bad introduction to the NFL season.
I agree.
On what I thought was an amazing game.
Oh,
it turned
yeah.
out to be.
Yeah, it was a great game.
Lamar Jackson is so damn good,
dude,
at football.
Unreal.
I mean,
unreal.
He really is. That was a matchup of two old tight ends, too. Mark Andrews looked old and slow, and Travis Kelce looked old and slow.
Yeah, you're right.
Travis Kelce does look old and slow.
Yeah, it's I don't know.
Well,
so
he can
Aaron Rodgers.
He can ride off.
Aaron Rodgers still had some zip on that ball, though, man. I thought he was firing that thing in.
I'm going to tell you, it was, I think, at their second possession.
It's a Garrett Wilson possession where he caught like five balls.
Well, all I remember is Aaron Rodgers kind of almost like a three-quarter sidearm pass. And after he threw it, they had the camera right on his face, and he had that look on his face like, yeah, there ain't a lot of guys that can make that throw.
Yeah, he's right.
And I thought the exact same thing. I'm not a big Aaron Rodgers fan, but I do appreciate the fact that the NFL is better when he's playing and when he's playing well.
Hey, speaking of, I meant to talk about it while we were talking about college football. Have you guys watched this kid at Nebraska, Dylan Raiola, play?
Oh, yes.
Have you seen, like, can you tell a distinct difference in just appearance between him and Patrick Mahomes? They have the same haircut. They,
they
both
do.
Wear 15. They wear the white jersey with the red pants.
I have not watched him 100%.
They look dead up like each other. He plays like him. I almost think he even inverted his knees somehow to where he runs like Mahomes. It's the most insane thing. Watch their warm-ups. There was a clip I seen on Twitter earlier where it was like their warm-up routine side by side. And it was just, I don't know. I mean, I know he probably grew up, like, it's crazy to say grow up as Mahomes as your idol, but this is his, what, seventh year in the league?
Yeah,
so,
sure.
I mean, I guess so, but yeah, it's...
Have you heard him speak, Tuna?
No, not yet.
I'm wondering if he talks like this.
I just
hope Nebraska can play well this week.
I hope the Chiefs draft him, so, like, nobody will know who's in there at quarterback. We're just, like, just keep shifting them in and out.
From an NFL standpoint, what games are you guys looking forward to this weekend as games that might move the needle a little bit?
Well, the big Thursday night game to start out, I think that's a great one. You got the Bills going to the Dolphins
Miami.
For a big divisional matchup. And what I think is a division that's just up there for the taking.
It is. Like, I have Buffalo winning that division, and I bet I have Buffalo winning this game. Yes, against Waddle, Tyreek Hill. You know, A-Chain's banged up. Mozart's banged up. They've got great this running back, Jalen, what's his name? He's going to be featured maybe in this game. I'm a little worried about him. He's got some talent. I can't think of his last name, but I still think that I think the best player of the week was Josh Allen, and I think he's going to go through and win again.
Here's the thing with this is history has shown that AFC East teams going to Miami in September historically struggle. They're not ready for that humidity that they've got going on down there. I mean, you've got Buffalo, New York, you've got New Jersey, and you've got Boston. None of those teams are ready for that Miami heat, and they're not in game shape yet enough to play four quarters in that kind of heat. And it's like history has proven that you go with the Dolphins there, but I just think it's going to be a fun game to watch, man. What I think is going to be a big fun game in this one is the Detroit Lions and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Teams that just look really good last year.
That's going to be a
the
great
Bucks are
game.
A handful, man.
How about
that's
Jameson Williams getting hot?
Dude, Jameson, that's the thing.
He's like, healthy.
Amon-Ra did not really have a good game, but he draws so much attention. And when you can add a guy like Jameson Williams out there with Amon-Ra on the other side, I mean, they're loaded with weapons. Those two running backs between Montgomery and Gibbs, Sam Laporta, it's just that's a good team. You get their defense to step up a little bit, and they're dangerous as hell. So, and they do got some nice young guys on the back end. Other than that, man, I don't think there's really – you got the Bengals and the Chiefs, obviously, which we mentioned earlier, which is always a fun game.
It is, but, you know, the Bengals are kind of a letdown. You know what the Bengals don't do and haven't done? They don't let their rushers rush the ball.
Oh.
And they don't let Joe Burrow do play action, which, you know, normally works in the NFL. Joe Burrow has no business being in the goddamn shotgun like Lamar Jackson used to be. You do play action, and you get somebody over. Let Zach Moss look good in this game.
Are they running him out of
shotgun? But he only ran
10
times.
So bad?
Dude, how many times did Joe Mixon run this past week?
30.
What did he do?
Yeah, like 130. Yeah.
And guess what? You think he ever had that many carries in Cincinnati? Hell no. And therein lies the problem with Burrow. Not with Burrow, with Burrow being able to throw balls around. T. Higgins is hurt. He's not there. We lost our slot receiver. He's gone. No one's scared of Chase anymore. He's not even in game shape yet. I say
sounds
that,
like you're sandbagging.
I say the Bengals lose by 20 in this game.
Hmm.
Easy. The Bengals... Folks, I predicted the Bengals will not be close to the playoffs this year, and I mean it. They will not. I hate to say it. Please prove me wrong. Please prove me wrong. But I'm telling you right now, Zach Moss acquisition ain't going to get it for us. I mean, who's he throwing to? Tight ends that have no names. Our defense is not as good as it has been. You know, the best thing we got is the kicker.
Evan McNasty.
I'm just sorry. I just do not see the Bengals having a good year at all. And I've been saying this for weeks.
You have. You said that in our...
They got a tough schedule this year. Their schedule is even harder.
When they beat us, he could be like, oh.
Well,
T. Higgins, touchdown, go for two. Yeah.
That might be
hey, I got
also.
Three Chiefs on my team now, buddy. I ain't thinking that, no. Hey, I hope we whoop your ass and pour gasoline all over your tailgate.
What's at Burrowhead Stadium?
Okay. Oh, should we have gone?
It's not in Cincinnati. It's at Burrowhead Stadium in Kansas City.
Well, right. We're going to pour tailgate. We're going to pour kerosene on your tailgate.
Well, that's mean. But it's a very Bengal thing to do, so I expect that. Like,
you couldn't pay me to go to Bengals Kansas City game. I think somebody's going to get their ass beat out that way.
At Arrowhead?
Yeah.
It's a nice – they're too nice to beat people up.
I think the nicest stadium
– like,
is
really,
the
they're in shock. Like, you guys roll in with, like, your methed-out look on your face and, like, ripped-up jerseys. And, like, it's these super nice Kansas City people, like, have some barbecue. Have
we're,
some beer.
We're wearing hardball slacks.
And you guys are, like, stealing stuff out of their cars at the tailgate, shoving it in your pocket and walking away. Like, it's a clash of cultures, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, okay. It's really only the one guy wearing the wolf head that
he didn't even hurt
banks.
Anybody.
Well, no, he was just sticking up banks.
He was just robbing banks, which, hey, screw, stick it to the man. They got insurance anyway. They probably still came out ahead.
Oh, I
love
it.
The guy couldn't help it. He was a Chiefsaholic. He had to fund his addiction to the Chiefs. I get it, man. I've never thought about robbing a bank, but it is
what
it is.
I mean, maybe now you have.
No, I have not.
yeah. Attention. That was a hypothetical, a complete hypothetical. Guys, we're getting towards the end of the show here tonight. I know we have a few more things to touch on, and I'm just going to let you guys say whatever you have to say at the end of the show, because we are in the downstairs
pub. Don't forget our picks.
Oh, yes. That's part of it. I will say this. Last week, if you bet with us, we did go 9-5. And we would have done a hell of a lot better, except as Tuna mentioned before, Mr. Electricity went 0-3. I would assume that he's going to have some picks that he's going to send us, and I'll put those out on social media later on this weekend. But right now, I'm going to call last call, final thoughts, and final picks, Tuna.
All right. Last call real quick, just a heads up, baseball season. It's we're in the last month before the playoffs. There's 18 games left, 19 for some clubs. And we got some divisional races that are coming down to it, man. Just tune in and catch up before the season starts. I know there's a lot of sports going on right now. And Shohei Ohtani is on pace. Right now he's sitting at 46-46. There's a chance we could have a 50-50 guy this year, which would be absolutely amazing. And by 50-50, I mean home runs and steals. So, and then picks. First one, we're going to roll into the Civil War, and I'm going to take Oregon State plus the 16 at home versus Oregon. I'm going to go next to I love this one. Mississippi State minus 23.5 over the Wake Forest Demon Deacons.
So, wait a minute. That Miss – Ole Miss
is what I meant. Not
easy,
oh, I
Jeff Levy.
Yeah. Ole Miss to beat the Wake Forest Demon Deacons.
Wake Forest scored a lot of points last week.
Don't care.
They ruined my under.
They're supposed to be SEC.
Freddie went 1-1 for unders.
And then next, I'm torn here between two games, but I'm going to go with my safe bet here and take Tulane on the road with the 13.5. I'm going to keep betting them here. Just a quick heads up. Florida State is something to keep an eye on at a 6.5-point favorite. I think that they can cover that coming off of a bye week after two awful, awful showings in their first two. But jump on that train and put money on it. So I'm just saying it's worth keeping an eye on.
Just lead right into me then.
Yes. So I'm going to let Freddie.
Fred.
Take.
Come right in here. Come on right in here. Memphis, Florida State. 12 o'clock, folks. Florida State is going to be 0-3. Memphis, the offensive coach is licking his chops for this defense. I'm telling you. Memphis is my pick to be in the field of 12. And I'm going to tell you, they look like they are all cylinders popping. They are offense. Hennigan, the quarterback, is great. Everyone knows I love Memphis. I love their running back. I love their defense. I am taking Memphis plus 6.5 over Florida State. The Cox on ABC, another 12 o'clocker. LSU at South Carolina, not an easy place to play. Brian Kelly, what are you going to do?
That's where the program was filmed.
I'll take South Carolina getting 7 in that game. I think they're going to remain hot, and they're going to upset LSU, who hasn't shown me much at all.
Unless the ESU Timberwolves are walking in.
And then
in,
I'm going with Tuna, go down to Chainsaw World and get your chainsaw, because I'm
get
taking Oregon State, getting 14.
Love it.
And hopefully that'll be 14.5 by the time Saturday comes.
It's 16 right now.
Oh, okay, 16. Well,
I took them earlier
bells.
At 16. So.
All right. And then, folks, you know, we have our special thing, Freddy's Unders. If you went with me last week, I went 1-1. So I apologize for that loss on Cincy. And Pitt, they got close. Both of them were close, but I'm going with 3 unders this week. We're going to go, and I think these spreads are correct. I'm not sure. Correct me if I'm wrong, Tuna, but I'm going Bama, Wisconsin, under 52. I'm taking that under. I think Bama's woes are going to continue, and Wisconsin hasn't shown me anything on offense, so...
50.5,
I don't see that being a blowout. I have San Diego State and Cal. Take that under at 49. 49. Cal has one of the best defenses in the country right now in the top 10.
Say it with your chest.
So believe that or not, but yes, they do. And then I'm taking the under, believe this one or not, with a potent offense, but I'm blaming it on Auburn. New Mexico at Auburn. I'm taking the under 61 in that game. There's no way in hell that will happen. Those are my 3 Freddy unders. And then just on the menu, Bama at Wisconsin, 12 o'clock, Bloody Marys with bacon. I got turkey legs I'll have turkey legs on the grill with some mesquite eggs, scrambled eggs.
You're playing Wisconsin, so you better have some cheese and some dairy products and all kinds of stuff out there.
And cheese.
I love those picks, guys. I want to say Colin sent in his today. He's taking Memphis as well in the 6.5. He's also taking Boston College.
Ooh, almost
and the
took
17.
That. Almost took that.
And his exact quote to me was, he was taking IU no matter what the spread was.
Damn boy. Shit right.
I got one thing to say to Colin real quick.
Yes.
I'm not going to rag on your Giants. I'm just saying, if you're going to wear those uniforms, you're going to have to come out and, like, perform something
at
somehow.
At least
yeah,
play
you can't look like
bit.
Shit and then play like shit.
Oh, man.
That was a double whammy. That was so bad to watch.
You're right.
They look like slushies.
You know me. Like, I'm a traditionalist. I love the old school
cool
uniforms. Those were not old school cool
maybe,
uniforms.
If they were winging it downfield and it looked really cool what they were doing, like maybe I could have bought in, but no.
Yeah,
it made it worse.
Looked like the Manuel Crimson's
out
of the tunnel.
It was not good.
Made it look worse.
I am going to take Purdue and the 10 against Notre Dame. I'm going to take Western Kentucky getting 7 points against Middle Tennessee, right?
You took Purdue getting 10?
I did. Don't tell anybody.
The clash of two terrible towns in Indianapolis.
I may bet you
10 Indiana.
That you ain't going to cover that.
And then I'm also taking Indiana.
Damn right.
With Colin, no matter what the spread is, the Hoosiers are going to win.
Love it.
We're going into the Big Ten. We're going to be 5-0 here in a few weeks. I can't wait. This weekend appears to be.
I will be wearing my IU shirt.
I love it.
Just so you know, at 7:30.
I love it. Guys, great to have you here. We hope to have Mr. Electricity back next week. I will be here to give a full report.
Maybe he's out watching the debate. That's why he couldn't be.
Well, I almost said it before the show that the only debate worth listening to tonight would have been between you and Fred talking about Clemson.
We agreed tonight on everything.
And that's why I never brought it up, because I have a feeling that if...
What's the odds that they're agreeing in the debate right now?
Zero.
Maybe they're just hugging each other.
Those odds are zero. But guys, it was a great episode tonight. Can't wait for this weekend to unfold. Can't wait to come back here next week and talk about everything. For the big fella, the tuna, Country Matt Kemp, and the fabulous one, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody.